Blessed be God forevermore. All right, we've been looking at our series, which we want to continue, and we just trust God as just guides us and just leads us in our series where we have been looking at how to receive and minister edification. Basically, we've really been looking at the mystery behind tongues. If you've been following the series, what's the purpose? So that we can learn how to minister and how to receive edification, which means edification is. And if you've been following this series from the beginning, you will know that so far we've covered some ground and some things bear repetition. But before we go in that direction today, look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews in chapter 5, verse 12. Notice what it says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I have become such as have need of milk and not of strong milk. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and what? Evil. Amen. Three loaded verses of scripture. Hallelujah. Notice this, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that one teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. Hallelujah. In case the word maturity or a teacher throws you in that verse, it shows you exactly how you can become a teacher or a mature Christian. Sorry, a mature Christian. Verse 14. It says, strong meat belongs. So there is strong meat and then there is milk. There is milk of the word and there is strong meat of the word. He's using natural illustrations to convey spiritual truths. Who takes milk? Babies. Someone says, why? They can't digest anything more than that. Any other thing beyond milk is complicated or is complex to digest. So babies stay on milk and they will grow. But there is a time when they ought to grow beyond babyhood stage. When is that time? When do you stop using this natural illustration to portray spiritual truths? When is the time spiritually somebody moves from being a baby to an adult who requires meat? So there is meat. God is not just reserving it. It is there, it is ready, it's prepared. It is only laid hold upon by those who are mature. Look at verse 12, 14 again. But strong meat belongs. It's readily available. It's prepared for those that are of full age. What does it mean to be of full age? It's talking about maturity in things of God. How do you prove your full age? It says, even those who by reason of use, that's the phrase, by reason of use. So no matter how long we teach about why it's important to speak in tongues, what the meaning of tongues is, what tongues will deliver, what tongues will unveil, what tongues will move into, until you practice, you will never come to full age. It says, strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use, they are of full age. It means it is practice that makes people come to maturity. What does that mean? There are things you have been taught. Take what you have been taught, go and what? Practice. When you practice, what happens? Maturity starts coming, or you start learning things beyond what you heard. It now becomes what you know. There's a difference between what you hear and what you know. What you hear should prompt you into acting so you can know. When you know, it belongs to you. You can bring it out anytime and use it as a believer. It says, strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who by reason of use. Notice it says senses. Their senses have been exercised. Let me use another word. Their senses have been retrained. Your natural senses can be trained in spiritual things, such that spiritually you're able to discern both good and evil. It means your natural senses have been so spiritualized over a period of time. How did you get that? By reason of use. Somebody says, I don't know if God is talking to me or not. By reason of use. By reason of use means that if you practice the presence of God and you spend quality time praying in the Spirit, the time will come where you're able to discern the thoughts of God and your own thoughts and you're able to separate. You can tell by reason of use, this is not God talking and this is God talking. A believer is not meant to abide in a consistent state of, I wonder if it's God. I wonder if it's me forever. No. There's babyhood. Then there is maturity. in book of Samuel, when Samuel first started on his journey as a prophet, the Bible says that he felt it was Eli that was speaking to him. So God used the voice of Eli. Notice after Samuel grew up, he never went back to Eli again. He could recognize the voice of God for himself. But God spoke three times. So he needed a teacher. So Eli taught him and said, the Bible says, Eli perceived that God was speaking to the child. Why did God use Eli's voice? Because Eli was his mentor and his teacher. But the plan of God wasn't that he would stay with Eli's voice, because Eli would soon pass away. But was that through that nurturing and that development, Samuel should grow to the point where he could hear God for himself, and he did. But he heard God so well. The Bible says that, and God confirmed the word of Samuel such that none of his words ever fell to the ground. What does that mean? By reason of use, his senses became what? Exercised. Became exercised. So even our physical senses can be so exercised such that we automatically can discern, is this God? Is this not? There is no ambiguity. It's clear with a full clarity, which is your natural senses have been so spiritualized or so affected by the Spirit of God, so that you know exactly that this is God that speaks. So you are not going to enter into the fullness of what God wants you to experience via the instrumentality of tongues until you practice. Say practice. Say practice. So this is the first scripture that is encouraging you to what? Practice. Now let me show you another scripture, John chapter 8, because I'm just going to start today and continue adding more to you if you have not used what I've been giving to you. Amen. How many of us have the culture of listening to the word of God? You have a phone or a device to which you can listen. How many of you? If you're a true noble height, or should I say noble outside, what flows from the top should reach you. You should be addicted to listen to messages, as in addicted. You should be addicted. So, and I told you, if you listen to the message, if you're a good listener, what you hear the first time is 6%. So there's 94% you didn't hear, but you thought you had. It's when you want to practice that you discover that you actually don't know, like you thought you know. Practice makes you humble. Practice shows you your true level. That, okay. When I was hearing, I was excited. Now on my own, obviously there's some things I didn't hear. I need to go and hear again. So you need to hear again. Are you in John chapter 8? Look at verse 30. John's Gospel chapter 8. And verse 31, I believe. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. This is a principle we are applying. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Look at verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you notice that even unbelievers know verse 32? How many believers know verse 31? They don't. But do you know verse 31 is a prerequisite for verse 32? No wonder they never seem to come to know the truth. Jesus gave a prerequisite. What's that prerequisite? He said, continue. Let me explain what that means. Jesus had been teaching them. Those who believed on him, he now says, that which I taught you, continue. Continue means practice, and then continue practice. Continue means don't practice and stop and say it didn't work. Continue means continually practice until you see it manifest. He now says, when you continue my word, then shall you know the truth. Why did Jesus use the phrase or the word continue? Because the natural senses are not used to spiritual things. So natural senses at the beginning of your spiritual journey will resist your spiritual progress. Why? They are not used to it. Those who are of full age have their senses exercised. Exercise means the senses were retrained. When you get born again, what happens? Your spirit man gets born again in Christ. Your soul remains the same. Your body remains the same. We know at the coming of Jesus, our bodies shall experience full redemption or rapture or new bodies. We know that the Bible expects that there is an ongoing work of God within our soul through the word of God. Our soul is being saved or is being renewed every day by the word of God. So when it says your senses, he's talking about the fact that the signals that control your senses, or when your senses are used to get information, is from an external source. Your mind processes external information, sends it to the senses, then the senses react. Now the senses of a new creation, a born-again Christian, now has to be retrained to get used to instructions that's coming from the Spirit. So when it says, if you continue in my word, it's trying to say, you don't practice and give up. You don't start and stop. The reality of the truth will never dawn by trying and stopping. You will end up like every other individual who has tasted God and tried God and they didn't get results. Why didn't they get results? They didn't follow Jesus' instruction. What's that instruction? If you continue. Continue means that it will lead you to experiencing the truth, and the truth you now know will set you free. So the condition is very simple. If you continue in my word, continue practice. Oh, Pastor, I prayed for 10 minutes in tongues. It was very boring. Boring. Continue. I tried to receive interpretation. I didn't hear anything. Continue. Nobody gets there in one day. It took you several years to train your spiritual senses such that now, as you are seated, if they are cooking beans, you know it's beans. It's training. If they are cooking stew, and some are more trained than the other. Some, there's no food that they are cooking that they can't tell you. Their senses are highly developed when it comes to smelling food. Every kind of food. If they are pounding yam without sound, some people will tell you that's yam. They are pounding. Highly developed when it comes to food. If they are cooking indomie, some people tell you that's indomie sauce. Somebody is cooking indomie there. Some people are so developed that they can tell the difference between indomie and spaghetti. Somebody says, what happened? Training. When you were a baby, you couldn't tell. You discover that over a period of time, after a while, you even said, oh, so that's what they call, so that's what they mean by, and I've been experiencing it too. I didn't know what it was. So that's what they mean by. When you first started cooking, you ask questions. Mom, when I'm cooking yam, how do you know when it's done? The only thing your mother can tell you is that, test it with a fork, when it's soft enough. But your own mom, because of experience, doesn't need to test it with a fork before she knows it's done. What's the difference? Experience. You started out by tasting rice. Is it soft enough? Your mom will hear the smell and say it's done. Go and put it. Ah, mommy, you didn't get to the kitchen. Don't worry. It is done. And she's always right. Somebody says what? Experience. They are of full age. They have their senses exercised. When I first learned how to make amala, I was always asking my mom, when do you know when to remove it from the fire? Because the color has changed, but you didn't remove it. So I can't say when the color changes. How do you know when to? But when I started practicing, I discovered, without anybody telling me, by experience, I knew exactly when it was done. Somebody says, how did I learn? By first making sure it wasn't done. And after you finish, you tell you to go and sit down, eat it. You are going to eat it by yourself. Nobody will eat this with you. How do I know that the water you are going to use to make such food, make sure salt doesn't enter? Or the amala will not become amala at all. Experience. What happened? By reason of use. So you can tell some things because your senses have been exercised. Do you know you can get that way spiritually? There is no guy here who ever went to school, particularly university or hostel, who doesn't know what oh God means. See his smile on their faces. Sonny, what is oh God? It's beans. When you are cooking it, we say, oh God, it's not ready, oh God. Now, by reason of use, you have your senses exercised unto godliness. So, the things we're teaching, practice actually helps you to come to a place of full knowledge where you will understand that any single time. This morning, my wife and I got a phone call from a church member whose son was electrocuted. But the boy is alive now. As well. But the mother had a warning early in the morning, 30 minutes before it happened. She saw like a flash. Somebody been electrocuted, but she didn't. She just prayed in tongues a little bit and ignored it. It can mean the difference between life and death. When she was narrating the incident, she came out, her husband ran, the son was at the gate about to go to school, a naked boy had touched the gate, he didn't know. And the son touched the gate and got stuck there. And he was shouting nobody heard initially. The husband heard and gone and went to go and touch the boy. He too was there. Then suddenly this same lady went to the power source and switched it off. And then both of them were okay. I prayed for them on early night. And when the lady was narrating what happened, the Spirit of God told me what happened. He said, remember, the scripture says, I know this will turn to my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. He said, she didn't pray the supply of the Spirit. She ignored it and almost lost both husband and wife. He said, but the small time she used to pray in tongues, I released wisdom.
That wisdom was what told her, go and switch your power source. Brothers and sisters, no woman remembers power source when she's panicking. But she spoke out to wisdom. That was all the Spirit of God could do. But if she had prayed enough, it wouldn't even happen. That's God's best. Thank God there's second best. What we are teaching is not common. It can make the difference between life and death, I assure you. What we're teaching is not common. As well as a pastor, my heart goes out when I see that half of my congregation don't come on Wednesdays. And not because they can't come. This is the part. I am 100% sure she's just coming from office. So not because they can, but because they made up. Now, the truth of the matter is that 52 Sundays can't teach everything. Forget, it can't work. But these things are practicable things. Things that can make the difference. God offers deliverance. Question is how? To a new creation. They say how? Because evil is around us. You are blessed. Say amen. You are greatly blessed. But you are living in a cursed world. So in case you are asking, why does evil happen? That's the answer. You are blessed, but you are living in a cursed world. So Jesus will tell you in the Old Testament, though you walk through fire, so there's fire to walk through. The fire is not to burn, it's on earth. Others will walk through it, they will be burned. You will walk through it, it won't burn you. When you pass through the waters will not overwhelm you. It means things will be sustained concerning you. Things will work for you differently, but some things will still happen. It is how we come out that makes us believers. Don't forget. It's how we come out. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. She spoke a little bit, but that was all the Spirit of God could use. And that was what the Spirit of God now. So she spoke and she went to act out unconsciously what she had spoken out. She should have passed us just in time. That's how the family was saved. Hallelujah. So in case you are still wondering, is this tongues necessary? It's extremely necessary. Luke chapter 16. Maybe we should start from there today. Extremely. Luke chapter 16. Let's look at the story of Nazareth and the rich one now again. I'm bringing out some principles again to highlight because in my life, I really do not know sincerely where I will be in life or ministry without the ministry of tongues. I don't know. Every major turning point, direction, instruction I received has come when I was praying in the spirit or praying in tongues and I spoke it out. I knew there was going to be a crisis when my first daughter was about to born. Before I got married, I spoke it out in a prayer session. So when the crisis happened, I was calm. There was peace that passed all understanding. Did it happen? Was there trouble? There was. Did we overcome? Yes. Before I got married, I was already one. Your first child is going to come by you standing on the word. That's what the Spirit of God said. It means attack will come, but stay on the word. You know, Jesus said that in the world you shall have tribulation, but it means you have peace, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. No matter what Jesus said, you are in him who has overcome the world. You are in him, but be in me you shall have peace. So Jesus saying, who are you going to pay attention to, me or the world? Be of good cheer. If as long as you are in me, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The storm hit. It didn't look, the prognosis wasn't good. Even medical diagnosis. My wife is alive. My daughter is alive. Against every medical prognosis. And it was before I got married. Because the things of spirit has no time limit. It's not time bound. But I spoke it out. I prayed out. So I was ready. Not only that, I got to know. There was no issue like, pray that you're able to have a second child. No, he said your first child. He didn't say your only child. So I knew there would definitely be a second. I wasn't planning for a third. But I knew there was going to be a second because he said your first child. So even in what God says, revelation is there. If you know how to pick it. So I didn't have to pray for a second one. So there are things like this that we need to really understand that these things is practice, is you can practice it. Are you in Luke chapter 19? There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fearsome sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. It came to pass when that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, this rich man now, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in Abraham's, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Hallelujah. Let me stop there. We are familiar with this passage of scripture, but let me give you another background alone. If we go through everything, we won't finish. But you notice that the Bible says that Lazarus desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Did he get it? Yes. Is that what was prepared for him? No. How do we know that's not what was prepared for him? What Abraham said is illuminatory. Abraham said to the rich man, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good thing and Lazarus evil things. Why did Lazarus receive evil things? He desired it. What is whoever desire? When you pray, believe that you receive them. What was prepared for Lazarus? The lines are falling for you in pleasant places. That's what was prepared. What he did receive, what he desired. In fact, Abraham calls what Lazarus received evil things. So the rich man laid hold on good things. Lazarus laid hold on evil things. How? By desire. So you can fall short of what God has prepared by wrong desires or evil desires. Which means that you cannot receive beyond how renewed your mind is. As time goes on, I'll show us that is one of the reasons why we have tongues in operation in the church. You cannot receive from God beyond how renewed your mind is, and tongues is an instrument for renewing the mind. Now show us how. But look at what Abraham said, very important. The Bible says that he saw Abraham afar off, so he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. So in realm of the spirit, in the belly of the earth, there were two compartments. There was a compartment called hell, where the rich man was in torment. There was another compartment called Abraham's bosom. What is Abraham's bosom? That was where those who trusted in God in faith were resting and staying until redemption came in Christ. That's also the place the Bible refers to as paradise. Remember, it says there's a great gulf fixed in between us. That those who are on your side can't come to where we are, and those who are here with us can't go to that place. What does it mean by a great gulf fixed? Because Jesus was teaching, and he said a certain man. So it's something that happened. Jesus gave us an insight into the realm of the spirit in those verses of scripture. Not only that, he used types and shadows. Jesus was saying that in the belly of the earth, there are two compartments. There is a compartment where people are suffering who didn't believe in God. There's a compartment where those who trusted in God and look forward to Jesus' coming are also staying. And those are the ones who are blessed with faithful Abraham. So they call the place Abraham's bosom or paradise. He said there's a great gulf fixed. I want to ask the question, how many of us can guess what the great gulf is? Think about it. You know this Bible study, so we're allowed to talk like this. I'm allowed to stop the teacher and give you mic. I'm allowed. He said a great gulf is fixed. We have already answered the question in the past. Jesus came and made an amazing statement and made us look afresh at what must have happened to Enoch and what must have happened to Elijah. Because Jesus came and said, no man has seen God at any time. Bible says God, Moses saw God face to face, but he said, no man has seen God at any time, but he that came from the Father. The Bible says, no man, Jesus now made it to us, no man has ascended unto heaven except he that descended. Where did Elijah go? You understand? So Jesus gave us a new paradigm into the scriptures. Why should we believe Jesus? Whatever he says, very simple. He is the word of God. Not only that, Jesus told us in Luke chapter 24 that he is the one all the prophets were testifying to. If you use that key and go back to the Old Testament, it will come alive. So when the Bible was talking about the house of Saul, house of David, his mother household, Jesus is the revelation of scriptures. House of Saul is house of flesh. House of David is house of the spirit. He said, our flesh got weaker and weaker, and the spirit got. Everything is type and shadows. But if you don't understand, you'll be reading my Bible book of stories. My book of Bible stories. That's what you'll be saying. Jesus said the prophets and all the law was an explanation of him. The Feast of Trumpets. It's an explanation of Jesus. Everything. So Jesus said, no man has ascended to heaven at any time. So where did Elijah go? I thought the chariot of fire took him. What about Enoch? And Enoch was translated and he was not found. Before his transition, he had this morning that he believed God and God took him. Where was he? So when we're thinking that both of them were in heaven, Jesus came and said, no man has seen God at any time. No man has ascended to heaven except he that descended. That's what Jesus said. And when Jesus said that, you know one of the shocking things about it is this. When Jesus said no man has ascended, notice he said no man. Except he that came. When he said he that came, before he came, he was there, but not as a man. As the word of God. It was when he came to her that he put on flesh. You understand? Okay. So in that compartment, everyone who trusted God from the days of Abraham were waiting. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit. That's one. Number two, their sins was not yet paid for. It was a promising note. Until Jesus came and paid the sin and preached to them. What did he preach to them? He proclaimed liberty. The price has been paid. You folks are now free. Receive new life. And when they received new life, their spirits were recreated. They also received resurrected bodies immediately. So there are some people who are first fruits, or those who already have resurrected bodies, then they appeared on the earth to people in their resurrected bodies. So people saw Moses and saw the others. So where were they all? In Abraham's bosom. So back to my question. A great gulf was fixed. What was the great gulf? Sorry? What was the great gulf? Who can proffer an answer at least? Try it. Why are some people not in Abraham's bosom? Why are they not there? Who are those who are in Abraham's bosom? Those that did what? Are they people who didn't sin? Those that trusted in God. What does it mean to trust God? To have faith in God, right? Who believed in God? So they had what? What did they have under the Old Testament in that form? Those who trusted God. They had a temporal salvation. So what could that gulf be? It's salvation now. His salvation. He said, you can't come from there to here. We can't come from there to here. That gulf is extremely wide. Jesus is the only passageway. He's the only passageway. He's the only bridge. And those over there can't remember his name. But those over here know his name. But it's even too late because they're no longer even there. They're now up there. He has relocated. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So he has even taken them out of the place. Salvation is a beautiful thing if you really study it. That's why, if you understand salvation, real salvation, none of you that are seated here has a covenant with God. You are products of the covenant that God made with Jesus. You don't have a covenant with God. Abraham had a covenant. You have something better, life. Hallelujah. Somebody say, what's the covenant? It's an agreement that you go into to have a relationship with somebody that doesn't actually exist. Marriage is a type. The two become one flesh. Why are you becoming one flesh? You were not one flesh before. You are not even one family before. You are bearing different names. So it's an agreement or relationship you go into that does not naturally exist. So it has to be created. That's what the covenant is. And the covenant of God with Abraham. Abraham, I will be to you a God. You will be to me as a subject. But God didn't do that with us. And to show the type of salvation that God was going to give us, that it was not going to depend entirely on God, he first experimented with Abraham. Okay, I'm quoting too much. Genesis 15. Before we come back, we'll come back here. Genesis 15. I need you to understand this because where we're going, as we go on along the line, you understand why I'm going to this detail. Because one of the things I want to share with us along the line is this. When that wisdom is coming forth, when the Holy Ghost begins to testify, because if prophecy, inspired utterance begins to come forth, the Spirit of God will always testify that you're a child of God. So that when you hear that testimony come out through your own lips, you won't disbelieve it. You need to understand the foundation. You know, those things you will hear. Do you know religion can rob you? The first day God told me, I was sending him thank you for the meeting. It went well. I went to minister somewhere in Ibadan, in Port Harcourt. And when I said thank you, God said, my son, thank you. Ah, I said, no. These are people get proud. How can God say thank you? Religion. He's my father. I say thank you to my son for helping me carry things. He's my son. I don't say because I'm feeding you. I'm not going to pay your school fees. My friend will carry that thing. No. I say, Alex, thank you. Why can't God say thank you to you? You had the choice to obey or not to obey. You obeyed. And God is encouraging you. Daughter, thank you. And I first thought, God said, who are you? And God is saying thank you to you. But that's what we need. So you can hear the Spirit of God testifying, and you can fight it to be true because of religion. Except your mind is renewed. All right, look at Genesis 15. I'm going to rush this. We can't go through everything. Now, then, verse 7. I'll read a few verses and then summarize him. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of all of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all this, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an aura of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and it shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Now, this is 400 years plus before Moses ever went to Egypt. And God was telling him what will happen in Egypt to Abraham. That's why the Bible says Abraham was a prophet. Revelation of 400 years before. So you know there are levels. 400 years. Not only that, he was telling Abraham now how the children of Israel will spoil the Egyptians. Say they will come out with great substance. So you know God knows the beginning from the end, isn't he? Okay, good. Let's read on. But in the fourth generation, verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So Abraham had prophecies showing that no sickness will take me away before my time is up. God said, I will live long. Say, I will live long. Say, I will live long. God says, with long life, he will satisfy me and show me salvation. I will not die, but live. I will not die until I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. No, verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come either again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, it was what? Dark. One of these days, we will study some phrases in the scriptures, because in the Old Testament before Jesus came, when the glory is in manifestation, it was usually dark. So the reason is because men could not see God the way it was. But in the New Testament, when the same glory manifested, it was usually bright. Because we can see him and behold him. Hallelujah. But this was the glory at work. Look at what the glory did. And it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same way, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, let me now begin to explain. In the Old Testament, a blood covenant is the strongest covenant in existence. How do you enter into a blood covenant? There are a number of animals that you will bring. Now, to enter into a blood covenant, it is not a covenant that you can break. The difference between it and a contract is this. If you write a contract, lawyers can find faults and look for loopholes. But not so a covenant, particularly a blood covenant. A blood covenant means that your life is at stake. That's why it's a blood covenant. It is something that God did to assure man. It's not something that God did to perform. God doesn't require a covenant to perform. But man requires a covenant to be assured. Hallelujah. Do you understand the difference? You know, Hebrews 6 says, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Bible says that he may show unto the heirs of salvation. He wanted to convince them beyond reasonable doubt. God swore an oath and enter the covenant. Why? To make it his counsel irreproachable. So it was to give assurance to Abraham, not to. That's why what we have is superior to a covenant. We have life. What we have from God is God's life itself. That life is proof that all God says we enjoy, we are going to enjoy it. So he's superior. So God made a covenant with Abraham, but I want you to notice under grace how God did it. God made a covenant with somebody who was asleep. Tinko. When they started making the covenant, God put Abraham to sleep. Then we saw two different things that happened. A smoking furnace and a burning lamp. That's father and son. Passing through the pieces. When you're making a covenant, then after you cut the pieces, the first person that makes it will walk through. The second will walk through. Once you sort of walk through it, it is inviolate. You can't break it again. Now, God wanted to cut the covenant with Abraham, but to show there is a type of what God will do between him and Jesus, God did the covenant and represented Abraham by himself. He cut it between, it was the burning lamp and the smoking furnace was the father, the burning lamp is Jesus. The two of them walked through it and did the covenant while Abraham was still asleep. What does that mean? Salvation will come, it will be without you, without your help. Hallelujah. God will do it. So the Bible can say 2 Corinthians 5, and all these things are of God, not of man. It will, for God to have a covenant with you means that if you perform, it will perform. If you fail to perform, it won't perform. To remove that clause, knowing you will fail to perform, he did it with somebody who will never fail to perform. His name is Jesus. You are the beneficiary of what he did. Do you understand? And we have an high priest ascended to the heavens. Jesus Christ the righteous is a propitiation for our sins. He has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save us forever. That's what the Bible says. He ever liveth and abideth. He ever liveth. He has an unchangeable priesthood. So God did it in such a way that he took it out of your hands, out of my hands, where it can't be tampered with. So the covenant out of which we receive life and we're being blessed is in a place where it can't be tampered with in the heavens. We here are enjoying it. Ah, we sure salvation won't fail. He ever liveth. Ah, we sure promises won't fail. He ever liveth. Ah, we sure rapture will come. He ever liveth. Are we going to part of new heaven and new heart? He ever liveth. Hallelujah. Will the word of God come past in my life? I said, he ever liveth. When the enemy comes with any doubt, he ever liveth. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Are we going to speak about tongues today at all? Hallelujah. Are you blessed? All right. Hebrews chapter 7. I don't know how you read your Bible, but when I get to Hebrews chapter 7, if I'm not sitting down, I'm usually dancing or shouting. It's one of the two. Usually shouting. Because there's some things that I said here that are really serious. Are you there? Let me read from verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety or a guarantor of a better covenant. And they truly, or there were many priests, because they couldn't continue by reason of deaths. Many priests means that after one priest dies, they will appoint another. After one priest, they will appoint another. So God couldn't have anybody permanent because they couldn't continue that office because of death. So he's comparing the ministry of the Old Testament priest to that of Jesus. Why Jesus is different? One of the reasons why Jesus is different is this. He never dies. So he doesn't need to be changed. So there's nothing like his priesthood will expire. Those who died, their priesthood expired. What is their priesthood? They represent God to man and men before God. So they died, and once they died, their priesthood expires. They couldn't continue helping men. But look at Jesus. And there truly were many, verse 23, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of them. But this man, hallelujah. This is where I start my shouting from. But this man. So he's making a comparison. But this man, because he continues ever as an unchangeable priesthood. That's our benefit. Wherefore, he is able also, hallelujah. Whenever she sees the word also, it's continuing a thought. He said, because his priesthood never changes. Because of that singular point, he has the ability. Abel also means he has the ability to save them to the uttermost, or save completely those who come unto God by him. Seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. For such an high tree became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins. This one doesn't have any sin. Then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. You see the difference between Jesus' ministry and their ministry. He ever lived. And because he ever lived, he is able also to save completely. So God wrought a covenant of which we are beneficiaries between him and Jesus. For him, God to make a covenant means that both parties must not fail. Why did he remove it from us? We are likely to fail. So he placed it in Christ where it will never fail. Not only that, nothing on earth can tamper with it where it is in heaven. But on earth here, we are leaving it out and enjoying the full benefits of that what? Covenant. Hallelujah. So do you have a covenant with God? No. Jesus does. You are the beneficiary. Hallelujah. It's what, you know, people have Old Testament language for everything. I have a covenant. You have a covenant with God. How? When you are doomed to fail due to human weaknesses. Now, what are the benefits of that covenant? Those are the things that God wants to unveil to the new creation. Here's the challenge. The language that God will use to convey it and the thoughts of those things. Jesus, God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of what? Peace, not of what? Evil. To give you a hope and what? A future or an expected end. Do you know in the realm of the spirit, the primary means of communication is not words, it's thoughts. When you get to heaven and you see David, you will just know, this is David. Not only that, David will know what you are thinking. You will know what David is thinking. The primary mode of communication. You know, thoughts are higher than words. Words are servants of thoughts. Where the importance of words is primarily on earth. Because the earth responds to words. Heaven doesn't necessarily respond to words. But the earth, how does it function? By words. That's why it's so important. So there are things God wants to unveil to you now that you're in Christ to show you who you are, what you are, what you have, what is at the back of you, hence the instrumentality of tongues. So there are things Jesus did that we can do and we will do. What's the difference? Jesus never needed to speak in tongues, and there's a reason why. But he gave us tongues. Why didn't Jesus need to speak in tongues? Jesus was born, the only man that was born from a woman's womb, who didn't have spiritual death inside of him. He had spiritual life from day one. What does that mean? His senses were never exposed to death or to corruption. So his mind never needed to be renewed. You got born again, even if you got born again at 8 or 12. Between when you were born and 12, some things were loaded into your mind and your soul. And your environment was feeding you also. And your mind is trained to feed from your environment. And because you were spiritually dead before you came alive again in Christ. As of the time when your spirit man was dead, your spirit man that was dead did a very good job in training your mind in evil things. In seeing limitations, in seeing weaknesses, in seeing defeat, in seeing failure. Now your new spirit in Christ now has an assignment to retrain your mind in seeing victory. And success and progress and increase on every side. How will he do it? Through the instrumentality of tongues. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. But there's another wisdom on this earth. That's why it says the wisdom of God, it qualifies it. There's a wisdom that comes from that sensual, devilish, doesn't need God, that a believer now needs to speak. Why will you need to speak it? It's called spiritual bypass. Because if the thought comes to your mind has been trained in resisting the spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know every one of us has resistance in our minds? That's what we call our own renewed mind. It just varies. Some minds resist God more than others. The degree to which your mind resists God is the degree to which your mind is renewed. So the person who has a more renewed mind will resist God less. And will resist the thoughts of God less. When thoughts come, they are alien to his natural way of thinking. Imagine. That business you want to do, go and drop 500,000 in the house of God. I said I need 12.5 million. This is 7 million. Is this how not that the devil comes? I should go and do 500,000. But you know, I still need 5,000, 5 million. You are now saying, your mind is not automatically interested in the instructions of God, he has to be trained that way. So through the instrumentality of tongues, God wants to now bring in thoughts, his wisdom, such that, like that lady, when she spoke out, even she didn't know, I had to tell her that you spoke out, and what you spoke out was wisdom of God. Your body acted out without thinking, because God bypassed your mind when you spoke in tongues. Where are we really going? To the point where we will be able to speak, and God's bypass will be perfect. Have you ever heard of a bypass operation before? Heart bypass. You have heard of it? Okay. We don't have a medical person that can explain fully to us. I can only use natural jargon to explain. Because anything bypass means that it won't go through the normal channel. It means the heart is not functioning the way it functions. So now need what you call a bypass. The mind is not functioning at the capacity of a new creation. It requires renewal. Your natural mind is not functioning at the rate at which your spirit is functioning. What did God provide to bridge the gap? Tongues. Your spirit man was given a language to speak such that it will be able to bypass that hindrance. Your mind will hear certain things, it will renew it. And it becomes renewed, it will make it easier for it to yield to the spirit. Jesus says something. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. For the new creation, God wants the spirit to be willing and the flesh also be what? Willing. How will it come through? A renewed mind. A renewed mind. A renewed mind is what God gives to us to be able to rule and reign. All the truths that you have had in the scriptures, they will not look like a mirage any longer. They will be practicable. You will walk in the reality of it if your mind is renewed to that degree. And tongues is one of the major ways that God has breathed. Because what your spirit knows, it can convey through a language. Interpretation comes, or wisdom begins to rise. You hear what it is that God is saying to your spirit. Your mind listens in to the information as your mouth speaks it out. So what is unique about tongues is this. Since tongues is not coming from my mind, that's why it's a bypass. Any language I speak normally, we have to go through my mind. So any other language I know how to speak, I learned it, I understood it, it functions primarily through my mind. But tongues is a language that comes via my spirit. If it comes via my spirit, and as I'm speaking it out, my mind is also listening in, it means my mind is not the originator or the generator of that language. Yes or no? Good. Why is it a bypass? Because my mind didn't originate it. But when I begin to speak it, my mind will listen in. And when my mind is listening by faith, as I'm saying it, I begin to get thoughts on the inside or a sense of what is being said. It becomes wisdom to my mind. Suddenly I know what to do. That is the purpose of what? Tongues. Hallelujah. That's why I said continue. Keyword, continue. Pastor, I spoke in tongues for 5 minutes yesterday, was boring. Continue. If you speak in tongues with the understanding, it's meant to lead me to something, it will lead you to something. If you speak in tongues, but they said we should say it, you have to move from they said though to I know. They said doesn't work. My pastor said, have you ever resisted temptation? I said, but my pastor said, you know, he says, what do you say? He also asked the people. Who the men say that I am? And some people say you are Elijah. Some people say you are John the Baptist that came again. Okay, fine. That's fine. You uncle, what do you say? And everybody kept quiet. Only Peter spoke. And when it came to what do you say, the Spirit of God revealed something to Peter. And Peter picked it up. So what do you say is a revelation. When I speak in tongues, my mind begins to listen. When I first start speaking, my mind can't make any sense of what I'm saying. Because it's not a language my mind is used to. My mind will start picking the meaning of what I'm saying in understanding. That understanding will do something to my mind. It will change the way my mind is structured and the way my mind thinks. I spoke in tongues. And as I spoke in tongues, these words floated up on the inside of me in my mind. Your first child. So I decided to say it out. Your first child shall come by you standing by the word. I quickly wrote it down so I won't forget. How did I enter? I was speaking in tongues. 2006, I had a session. I was moved upon my spirit of God. I said, pray in spirit. I prayed for a 3-day period. One of those days, I spoke out. I even wrote the tongues down. I won't go into that, but there's the dimension in which you can write tongues down. But that's a personal thing. Okay. I wrote it down. When I wrote it down, I said it to myself again and again. What was I doing? I was reading it. I was saying it. After the third or fourth time I said it to myself, suddenly I knew what it was. And God told me, you are going to leave this place. A work will start. The work and the new place I moved to started 2 years after. God told me 2 years before. That's how Noble House was born. At the time God was telling me Noble House was going to be born, I wasn't ready to leave where I was. Neither was I willing. Why wasn't I willing? An unrenewed mind. What did God give me? A means to bypass my unrenewed mind. When I received information, an activity started along that line. My mind became renewed to the fact that you are going to go out on your own and raise the people that will walk in the middle of your heritage in Christ. Then I was praying in tongues one day, 2 years after the Noble House started. Then he told me, we used to restore the confidence of men in the power of God. Why did he say for two from the beginning? It's line upon line, precept upon precept. So yeah, you won't run. Because little that you have had, you already want to run. Me? What's the issue? Your mind, unrenewed. He's not thinking the way God is thinking. It's like the capacity of the thoughts that God wants to pass across to you. Your mind is even afraid of it. But your spirit man is never afraid of God. Hallelujah. Never fears. Never doubts. Never quails. Never draws back. Never shrinks back. He's never reluctant. He's always willing and obedient. But your mind is where execution takes place. Without the support of your mind, it will never be executed. That's why God is after your mind. Serious about your mind. So the time will come when you speak enough to the point where you are giving back to actions which you are going to carry out, which if you pay attention to closely, you realize that what I am doing now, I've already spoke out the details in tongues. I'm only acting. And that's why I seem to be bold to resign. Why am I so bold to resign? And I was afraid before. No, you spoke out certain things in tongues. You even spoke out who you are going to meet that will lead you to the new thing you are going to be doing. God is that detailed. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. When you naturally think of resigning, you are like, evil. But God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a hope that if I'm leading you to resign, I can't be leading you into evil. It's thoughts of peace. But your mind can't comprehend. What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? How will I go out? As though you didn't do any of those things when you didn't have a job. But suddenly your job has become your Messiah. And God needs to get you out of the boat into the water. And says, I am on this water. Because I'm on the water, as long as I'm there and I'm holding you, you can't sink. Look to me. But your mind will tell you, the first law of physics is, if you step out on water, thou shalt not only sink, thou shalt surely drown. That the law of uptrust, according to Galileo, you ask your mind though, telling you, this water you want to step out into, do you know what water means? Water means storm. He means fierce winds. Don't step out. Stay in the boat. It's still comfortable. But when you spoke in tongues, the message was step out in the water. Resign. When? Next week. And you're like, guess what? The time you're about to resign, you have not paid child school fees. Hey! What do you do? Somebody says, Pastor, if I'm afraid, I'd be like, pray in tongues more, pray in tongues more. Tongues more. Pray in tongues more, pray in tongues more. What are you doing? Ministering strength to yourself. Receive more education. Receive more education on your side. Why? The fear is in the mind. Remember, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, of what? Love, and a sound mind. So when he says spirit there, it's not spirit. Oh. Another translation is, God has not given you the nature of fear, but the power of love. Sound mind. What robs us of entry into the next thing God wants to do? Sound mind. Your mind is not sound enough to enter fully into it. What will make your mind sound? Tongues. We are not tongues. What tongues delivers? What will make your mind sound? What tongues will deliver to you? We make your mind suddenly strong, sound. So yeah, you are bold. When we wanted to move to this place, there was a police who had been giving a quick notice. The days were counting. You have 21, 28 days to evacuate these premises. So, all kinds of letters were coming. When we didn't move, we went to go and report the police station. They're going to, is it 5A or confiscate all your belongings and so. I went, if I had looked at those things, I had not prayed in tongues, that's when your tongues would be different. Warfare tongues. Come, ma, 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 ma. Be, bo. You have to silence the fear on the mind that way. Hey, they are coming. Today's the day they are coming. We say, no. He that speaketh in no tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Only God can bail me out now. And he will. Hallelujah. He always will. I want you to see that what we're teaching is practical. Extremely practical. It covers every situation. But you start out with understanding. Start out with the fact that this will move me into this. Now, if I want to do that, do I want to pray in the spirit for the supply of God's spirit? That's one purpose. Or I want to speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's another purpose. A believer should do both. But there are times when you need to spend more time speaking now because the wisdom is already there. You just need to tap into it. And God will always allow by faith there to be a bypass. You will speak for the wisdom of God. Sometimes that wisdom suddenly you just woke up in the morning. And the first thought in your mind is that go and ask so and so for a loan concerning this, but you didn't think that before. Where do you think it came from? Hardly from the devil. It was from that session. And the wisdom now became accessible to your mind. And then you call that person, and that person is as though the person was keeping the money for you. No difficulty, no challenge. That's how life works for us. Hallelujah. You know, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we both say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There is nothing that men can what? Do unto me. See, there is nothing that men can do unto me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, there's someone that needs to say that. Yeah. There's someone that needs to say that. If I'm more than one person tonight, needs to settle some things like that with God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I need to say it and say it and say it. And tonight, when you get home, keep saying it and say it until you burst out in tongues. And you see what happens. I'm giving somebody an instruction tonight. That's Psalm 27 verse 1. Keep quoting and confessing it until suddenly you have the urge to speak in tongues. Now speak in tongues and see what happens after. Deliverance will come. Deliverance will come. And the fear will die. Once that fear is gone, a sound mind is a reward. And a sound mind always receives and laid hold on the promise of God. So even though you have a deadline, if you don't pay that money tomorrow, I won't do that project. What do you do? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Or whom shall I be afraid? Just keep declaring. I keep declaring. And speak until you burst out in tongues. And see what happens at the end of the day. Hallelujah. By two immutable things, it is impossible for our Father to lie. We have a strong consolation. Even we who have laid hold and fled for refuge upon his word. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, we just need to laugh tonight. We can just... Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. By his redemption we are saved. By his grace we are delivered. By his provision we are supplied. We are never stuck nor stranded. We are never cornered. We have enough. There's abundance in this house. We can never be cornered. We have victory on every side. The doors are open. The lines are falling in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. Glory to God. We're led out in peace. We go forth rejoicing. There's plenty in our hands. Glory to God forevermore. We're the children of the risen one. We're connected with him. We're for signs and wonders. Everything we do, there is a sign and there is a wonder. Hey, glory, 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 glory. No divination against Jacob, no sorcery against Israel. Hallelujah. It shall be said, what marvelous things God has wrought in our lives. Glory to God forevermore. We have the victory. 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 Ha ha ha! We have the victory. The walls are falling down. We have the victory. We can't be cornered. We have the victory. Woo! Glory. Glory. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Father. Oh, blessed be your name. Glory to God. The fragrance has changed. I can smell it. It's so sweet in the air. It's victory. It's victory. It's smelling so sweetly. It's victory. The oppression has lifted. The fear is gone. There's a holy boldness. Hey. Glory to God. We trample over death. It has no effect upon us. We are free from its effect. Life swallows it up forever. We have an abundant supply in him. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. We exalt you. Hey, glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen.